Let's take a look, look, look at the book, 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 shall we? Let's open our Bibles to Isaiah this morning. In the middle of your Bible, if you take your Bible and open up in the middle, you'll find Isaiah. And we're turning to chapter 55 this morning. And we're going to look at briefly at this chapter, Isaiah 55. Keep your Bible open to that passage. I'll come to it in just a moment. At one time or another, all of us have been irritated by music turned too loud, haven't we? You know, you see the car coming down the street. Actually, you don't see it, you hear it. You hear the music, the beat, bum, 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 bum. And as it gets closer, the beat gets so loud, you almost feel like you're moving as the car passes, and then the car passes. You've all seen that, haven't you? All experienced that, a car that looked like it was basically designed to carry the speakers for the radio system or the whatever it was, the CD, and it was playing so loud, it was very irritating. You thought to yourself, well, if he's not deaf yet, he soon will be, as this car passed by. There is such a thing, however, as music that can't be loud enough. In Isaiah 54, the chapter before, Isaiah said, "Burst into song, shout for joy." That was his exhortation in chapter 54, because chapter 54 follows chapter 53. In chapter 53, Isaiah described the suffering of the servant, his death. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. It described his death. It described his triumph over death. He will see the light of life. And so after chapter 53, Isaiah called for music. Music so loud that all of humanity ought to sing, and so loud that it ought to echo all the way to heaven and right through the ages. Burst into song, shout for joy. And now in chapter 55, Isaiah comes to an invitation. An invitation extended likewise to all of humanity. Chapter 55 also is in the wake of what has been described in chapter 53. Follow in your Bibles as I read now in chapter 55. "Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen, listen to me and eat what is good, and you will delight in the richest of fare. Give ear and come to me, listen that you may live." Drop down to verse 6. "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their ways and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on them, and to our God, for he will freely pardon." This chapter begins with talking about the thirsty. Keep in mind that Israel is a very arid land. They have a tremendous shortage of rainfall. It's very arid, very dry. It's not uncommon to see, the wadis, as they're called. The stream beds are dry. They're only there occasionally drenched with water. Like what we've heard about California again and again and again, the drought in the West, the land is dry. Well, in a context, in a culture like that, thirst becomes an image for human need, for all of our needs, the needs of our hearts. And water becomes an image for satisfying those needs. And so Isaiah begins by addressing those who are thirsty. Come, all you who are thirsty. He's talking about a thirst of the heart, a thirst of the soul, a barrenness and a need. And he says to all of humanity, come, come, come. He says it again and again in verse 1. As a matter of fact, this invitation to all people is so close to the heart of God that it's on the very last page of the Bible, repeated. Let me read to you from Revelation 22. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. Let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who wishes take the free gift of the water of life. All the way on the last page of the Bible. And that very invitation is repeated by the Lord Jesus himself, also again and again. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. All of humanity are urged to hear. Don't sit there. Sit there thinking and theorizing and hesitating. Come now. It is urgent. And he tells us to come and buy. Buy wine and milk. Matter of fact, buy the richest of fare, the best meal ever. But you can buy without money because the price has been paid by someone else. No money required. It's a free gift. All of this in the wake, of course, of chapter 53, where the servant of the Lord will make the payment for our sin, that we may heed this invitation free of charge. Jesus is God's answer for the deepest hunger and the deepest thirst of our souls, is what Isaiah is teaching. We long for God. We have a vacuum, a thirst in our souls that only God can satisfy. And yet, we cling to our little gods, our idols, our private passions, our possessions. We cling to them. And Isaiah says in verse 2, why spend money on what does not satisfy? And yet that's what we do. We cling to our little gods, and we spend money on them, and they can never bring that deep answer to our hearts that we all need. People long for God. We are created that way. All of us, every one of us, needs that personal connection, that relationship with God. Notice it says in verse 3, give ear and come to me, listen that you may live. The word come, come, come is repeated again and again. The word listen, listen, hear my call, hear my word, repeated again and again in this passage. Isaiah says, come to me and be satisfied, and also turn to me and find mercy. At verse 6 and 7, the invitation is renewed, and now with great moral urgency. He says, seek the Lord. Call on him. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. There's an urgent invitation. This invitation means, of course, repentance. I'm going my own way. Thank you. I'm going my own way. And I need to turn away from my own way and come to God. That's called repentance, turning from my way to him, trusting in him, recognizing that his way is right and my way is not right. Supposing you wanted to drive to Albany from Oneonta. You go out the Lettuce Highway, you come to the interstate and you go west. And you drive west and you're driving west and you say, whoa, wait a minute, I'm going the wrong way. I can't go to Albany this way. And you realize suddenly two things. Number one, I got to turn around. And number two, the sooner the better. And it's exactly that way with repentance. I've got to turn around. I've got to turn from going my own way apart from God, and I've got to turn away from that and turn to God. And it's important to recognize that I've got to turn around, and the sooner the better. If I just keep driving west, 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 I'll end up in Los Angeles. I'll never get to Albany. And if I just keep going my way, my way, my way, I'll end up in hell. And I'll never get to God. There's a great sense of urgency in Isaiah's words. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. He's calling for forgiveness. He's calling for us to turn around. Isaiah goes on to say that God's thoughts are not our thoughts. His thoughts are higher than ours. We want little things. We cling to our little idols, our little expectations, our earthly comforts. God's plans for us are higher and better. They're powerful. They meet the deepest needs of our hearts. We can be absolutely impoverished and yet wealthy when God has met the thirst of our souls through Jesus. Isaiah is teaching we must come to God. We must receive his word. That's the emphasis on listen, listen, listen. And his rich gifts in his son, Jesus. We must stand in awe. We must stand in awe of the grace of God that is revealed in Christ. Stand in awe of his saving grace. You know, we have nothing but our hunger and our thirst. We have nothing to bring to God but our need. But he offers us rich gifts, not only water for our thirsty souls, but he describes the richest of meals, wine and milk, and the best meal possible. He means the deepest needs of our souls are met by coming to him. God is merciful. As I read through this passage, one of the phrases that really struck me was what is said in verse 7. It says, let them turn to the Lord and he will have mercy on them, and to our God, for he will freely pardon. That expression, freely pardon, is rich in the language in which Isaiah wrote. He will multiply forgiveness. The Bible translates that he will freely pardon. How rich that is. All of our sin, all of our past wiped away, forgiven by the grace of God. He will abundantly forgive. I'm reminded of John Newton. John Newton was a slave trader. John Newton kidnapped people. He put them in chains. He divided families. He dragged people away from their families, put them in chains, put them on ships, and sold them across the ocean. He was a slave trader. It was a brutal and cruel business John Newton was in. On one such journey, he was on the sea in a ship, and there was a hurricane. And that ship was tossed around like a little ball on a vast ocean, and he was terrified. Ultimately, John Newton came to Christ. His life was transformed, and he realized the terrible wickedness that was his past. A slave trader, killing people, destroying lives, destroying families. He was astonished at what he had done. But he was forgiven And he wrote the hymn, "Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see." That's what Isaiah is talking about. I will freely forgive, abundantly multiply forgiveness. We need to meditate on that and think about the grace of God. We come and we buy the rich food that God offers, and we have no money. We have nothing to offer to God, and yet he freely and abundantly forgives. Secondly, let us share the gospel with renewed urgency. There's great urgency in this passage. Perhaps our familiarity with the passage robs us of that sense of great urgency. We need to sense that. Now is the day of salvation. Now is the day of grace. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near implies that there will be a time when he may not be found, a time when he is not near. And so we need to seek the Lord now. And we who are engaged in sharing the good news with others must do so with urgency and with concern. You remember the story of Lazarus and the rich man, which Jesus told. Lazarus was very poor, had nothing. He's sometimes called dives. The rich man had everything. He feasted sumptuously every day, and he ignored Lazarus. Well, the time came when Lazarus died, and the rich man also died, and Lazarus was comforted in paradise, in Abraham's bosom. He was with God, and the rich man was in hell. The rich man thought he could still order Lazarus around, have him do this and have him do that, but there was no chance for that. There was a great gulf fixed, Jesus taught, between those who are with God and those who are separated from God forever. And so we feel the sense of urgency, this great need to share the good news. Now we can't, I know we want to because I want to. I want to make people believe. I want to see them all saved. We cannot compel people to be believers, but we can with urgency share the good news and pray that they receive Christ. The time will come when time will end. The day of grace, the day of salvation will end, and judgment will arrive. Isaiah calls us to urgency. And the third way to respond to this passage is to be sure that you have received Christ as your Savior and God. Are you certain about your relationship to the Lord? Are you sure about forgiveness? Come. 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 God says, God is the speaker in verse 1. God is the one who invites everyone, all of humanity, to come with urgency, to come now. If you're unsure about your relationship with God and your need for forgiveness, if you're unsure about heaven and hell, do not delay. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let's bow together in prayer.